June 26th, 27th, 28th at Black River Landing is the dates for the 2015 Lorraine International Festival. But why am I telling you that now in February? Or you could probably skate on the Black River. Haven't been down there, don't recommend it. But we are talking today about international because Lorraine International Princess applications are going to be due on February 27th. So you have a limited time now to get the young lady in your life involved in this fun event. And to help us talk about that is Nikki Janik, who is the, I guess you're the coordinator, the princess organizer. What title do they give you over at
Indiana? I'm the chairperson of the Princess Pageant Committee.
Ah, wow. That's quite a mouthful with a lot of things. But you're here today to get the young ladies involved in the pageant, right?
Absolutely. It's a wonderful event, and we do start so early in the year, as you've mentioned, and we really want the girls to find out early so that they don't miss the deadline, so when summer comes, they can get involved in all the activities we have to offer.
Yeah, a lot of probably hear their friends maybe talking about it, and you know, like in April, and thinking, well, you should have been back in February, sent in your application. So how do you go about, I guess, submitting an application to be an international princess?
You can download the application from the Morning Journal website, and I believe there's a link also from the Lorraine International website as well. And you just go ahead and print that out and mail it in, and then we take it from there.
Now, what kind of an application? What information are you getting from the young ladies?
It's basically just contact information, the nationality that you'd like to represent, your age, things of that nature, so that we can go ahead and get the proper sashes made. You always see the princesses and their cultural attire, and they always have a sash with what nationality they're representing. So we make sure that's all printed up before we ever even meet them, so that upon meeting them, they're kind of adorned with their piece of their costume to begin with.
So am I understand those sashes are new for every year?
Every year they're new, and every year they're the girls to keep once the pageant's over.
I thought maybe there was like a closet over somewhere in Lorraine International Land that, you know, houses all of those pieces, parts of that. But obviously, as you say, it becomes part of their keepsake.
Absolutely.
You were a princess at one time, right?
1998, the Irish princess.
Now, Nikki recently married, last name Janik, before Soto. Where's the Irish part of
my maiden name was Gedling, and my father, that's English, but my grandmother was Irish. She came over from Ireland, and so that I was always an Irish dancer since I was a small child. So I grew up with the Irish dancing, and I always had dreams of dancing on that stage at the Princess Pageant. I always danced at the festival and thought, oh, when I get to be a teenager, I got to get on that stage, and that's what brought me to the Princess Pageant.
And many of them are like that. They either have come to the festival, participated as one of the groups that, you know, perform, and then they see the young princesses as a young girl. They idolize them and want to be a part of that. Maybe they see them in the parade or when you do that as well. And then some of them, I find out, they say, well, my friend was going to do it, so I decided to do it. So there's a lot of different roads that lead them to this. Right?
Absolutely. And that's my favorite way, because the girls who've grown up in the culture of the international, if you will, they know from the time they're, you know, knee high that they're going to be a princess when they get to be of age. But I really like to hear the stories of the girls who didn't know anything about it, and their girlfriends say, oh, check this out. Listen to what I've always been doing. Listen to what my grandma's always taken me to. And then they think, well, let me see what nationality I can represent. And then that dialogue begins with their family. Tell me about our culture. Let me see what I identify with here. And they really find out a lot about themselves and learn something they didn't even know that they could participate in Lorraine County.
How do they choose the nationality, and how much of that lineage do they need? Is there any requirement on that?
It's really up to each individual girl and the culture that they identify with. We don't put limitations, you know, on it. We don't ask for a genealogy map or anything when they submit and say they want to be the French princess or the Italian princess. We just say, that's wonderful. Just make sure you know about it, because the judging process includes an interview, a 10, 15-minute interview with a professional judge that's hired in, for three actually of them, that are hired in from out of county. And it's all questions about, of course, the girls, but tying in their heritage, their culture. So you want to make sure you know about the culture that you're representing.
Nikki, what was maybe a favorite part of yours going through the process?
Well, I met my very best friend through the process. Her and I grew up both in the city of Lorraine. I went to Lorraine Catholic High School. She went to Clearview High School. We had never met before. Met through the international. She was the Greek princess. I was the Irish princess. We met. Oh, we're both going away to college in the fall. Oh, we're both going to University of Toledo. Good luck to you. We show up at the university. We live one floor apart in our dorm room. Best friends ever since. And that connection started right here through the international. So making the friendships is by far the best part. And I think most of the girls who have participated would agree with me on that.
Again, today we're talking with Nikki Janis this morning, and the Princess Pageant, the Princess applications are due by February 27th. They submit them again. So it's a chance for them to kind of fill that out. And then once they fill that out, what do you recommend they start doing at that point then?
Starting on their costume. That's the biggest thing. They still have some time. Costumes won't be due technically until mid-April, I believe. But talking to family members, talking to friends, figuring out, now if I'm going to be the Italian princess, what would be the proper costume to represent the region I want to represent? What would be the proper costume to represent the social stratosphere that I'm trying to represent? And what they do from there is, do we have anybody that has a costume? Do I need to purchase a costume, make a costume? That's probably the biggest hurdle. And the question I get is, I don't know what to do about a costume. We as a pageant committee, we've been through it. We've seen just about every nationality. We can get you in touch with folks who can help you get a good authentic costume if you can't do one on your own.
And there's different ways, as you mentioned. There's some of that maybe make it on their own. Some of them buy them already made that somebody has. Or maybe they suddenly discover somebody has an outfit as well.
Absolutely. And a lot of girls wear costumes that their aunt wore 20 years ago, which is also a really cool thing. And we'll see the same costumes popping up year after year after year in our pageant. And it's neat to see the way that those costumes hold up. And they still hold true today as far as a good representation of their culture.
Now, when these girls go through the interviews, how often are they wearing the costumes? At what point do the costumes become part of what they do as far as that's concerned?
For pretty much all of our public events, they wear a costume. And we tell the girls they must have one official costume, but if they want to have multiple, they're permitted to do that. And the reason for that is some of the girls' costumes are so heavy and, you know, in an effort of authenticity, they want to make it real. But sometimes it's, you know how it can be here in May, June, you never know, and we don't want the girls to be overheated. So sometimes they will do a variation of a lighter costume, but the official costume must be worn for the pictures that are in the newspaper and for their actual judging.
Right. Having done interviews with the different princesses over the years, I can say the costumes range from very ornate, as you may, you know, seem, and very sort of authentic to some that seem to be some that could possibly exist today in those cultures that people would be still sort of wearing.
Absolutely. And what's neat is it's sort of up to the individual girl to decide what route she wants to go with that. So it's neat to see their individuality kind of come out in the costume that they choose.
Right. Just know that if you decide to become a real princess from that country, your outfit's going to be a little more different than if you happen to be maybe a peasant girl or somebody who represents sort of the common person of that
exactly.
culture as well.
And I think, too, it's a good opportunity for these young women to learn more about their families. They can connect with not only maybe their mom, but their grandmother, as well as you mentioned, maybe an aunt, who they just learn more about their family history through that.
Most definitely. I find that it brings families together because, first of all, you have the older generation so proud that in today's society, sometimes, you know, teenage girls might think, why do I want to wear a funny costume and go around in the community and public speak? That sounds like a nightmare. But once they start getting into the basis of what am I truly representing, not only my county, but my family as well and where we came from, they start to take a sense of pride in it, and it becomes a family bonding experience for everybody.
Anything that might be a misconception that you kind of change people's minds when they really talk to you about it, or they think it's one thing and it's actually something else?
The biggest thing is the judging. Over the years, we get a lot of, oh, it's fixed. You know, we know who it's going to be already, and we can tell you you're going to choose who you like or who you know or whatnot. And I'll tell you this, we pride ourselves on the fact that we hire judges, professional ones, from a judging agency out of county. And we do that specifically to avoid the appearance of impropriety. We make sure that they don't know a soul that's going through the process, because we want to make sure we're getting the best representatives for our county, and we're not going to play favorites and choose who we you know, would want to represent, because at that point, it's not really up to us. It's up to putting our best foot forward out in the community.
We're talking today with Nikki Janik about the Lorraine International Princess. Applications are due, as it says, absolutely no later than Friday, February 27th. So you just have a couple of weeks to get them in to the folks at the Lorraine International. What are the requirements? Who is eligible to be a princess?
Any female who has completed her junior year of high school by the date of the pageant or the weekend of the pageant. I think the date we have listed is June 28th of this year. Also, you cannot be older than 24 years of age by that same date. So that's kind of your age range. You can never be married or pregnant or have any children, divorced, anything like that. Those are the basic requirements. Of course, It's extended to all of Lorain County, and just to note, that does include the entire city of Vermilion, even though we do have that cutoff of counties there. We do allow any girl in that age range from the city of Vermilion to participate if she would like to.
Now, I assume that in a sense that there's a lot of people from sort of the Lorain area, because it's Lorain International Festival and Princess. You know, do you get people from other parts of the county? I mean, obviously we're encouraging people from anywhere down to Wellington to, you know, Columbia Station, that type of area too.
We encourage everyone. And actually, as we sit here today, our reigning international queen, Colleen Ziegman, is from the city of Elyria. So that our reigning queen is from Elyria. We really like to expand because the Lorain International, it's about the diversity of the city of Lorain, but it's also about our county in general. And we really strive to put that out there in the community to make everyone feel welcome so that as time goes on and some of these smaller social clubs aren't as big as they used to be, we want to reach out to other area churches and groups so that we can kind of keep this thing strong. We're going to be approaching our 50th anniversary as a Lorain International in a couple of years, and we want to make sure we're going just as strong as we were 50 years ago. So we want to include everybody in Lorain County.
You mentioned about the different social clubs, and that I understand, does each princess then get a sponsor of sorts? How does that work?
Yes, each princess must have a nonprofit sponsor, and we really have to stress the nonprofit because we don't want to be an advertising agency, you know, for anybody for profit. A lot of times it is social clubs or churches, but we've gotten creative. We've had some girls who've had parents who, you know, work for a nonprofit that maybe we haven't heard of, or some schools that are nonprofit, you know, some daycares. They like to always come in, and sometimes they don't even have a princess in mind. They'll just say, it's a good cause, we want to sponsor someone, and that's what they go ahead and do.
What does that sponsorship mean or entail?
Well, to tell you the truth, it's a $50 fee for the sponsor to pay for the princess to participate, and that covers cost of her T-shirt and her sash and some basic materials. But really, it's just good publicity for the nonprofit, because as the princesses go to these public events, they're required to always tell three things: their name, their nationality, and their sponsor. So really, it's more of a benefit to the sponsor than anything else, because they're getting a lot of airtime from these ladies traveling all around introducing themselves.
Maybe there's a girl out there who's interested, or somebody who knows them, but they're thinking, I'm kind of not that person who likes to talk a lot in front of people. Any advice for that? Or probably you've seen growth through the year as they get involved in the process that you help with, right?
It is incredible to watch the growth from the most shy girl to the most outgoing girl. You'll see growth in each and every one of them and all the girls in between. The first day we show up at orientation and we tell them they have to stand up and say those three things: name, nationality, sponsor. You can cut the tension in the room with a knife. It is cringeworthy. No one wants to be first. Everybody's looking down. There's no eye contact. By the night of the pageant, those same girls are floating across that stage, all the confidence in the world. So I would say, if you are a person who's a little bit more shy and you think, oh, public speaking, no thank you, I would say do it. It only helps you for college applications, for social networking with other folks. It can only benefit you. Interview skills, which you're going to be doing in life, whether you go on to college, whether you go on to the workforce, you got to learn interview skills. And you're going to learn that here in a productive environment where everybody's kind of supporting one another. So it's a really good opportunity for some personal growth.
Sounds really good. It's the Lorain International Princess Pageant, still the Thursday of the festival week, right?
Yes, it is.
And that's over at the Lorain Palace, the location that you have. That's one of the nights that they have. Again, the festival to Black River Landing. Craig, we're looking. Got to mark this on our calendar because we always end up having our booth out there as well. June 26th, 27th, 28th. Speaking about June here in February.
And we'll be at the breakfast.
Oh, yes, we will. Can't forget that.
That's
the Monday kickoff over usually at DeLuca's. But again, this February 27th is the cutoff date for the application for the princesses. And again, to get the application, you mentioned that I think the Journal's website, Morning Journal website, has that as well. I also think we'll be posting that at WEOL's website too, because I did get a copy of that too. That's, just to make it easy.
That would be wonderful.
Well,
I also think the City of Lorain Auditor has put that up on the website as well, if people are searching the internet for it.
Sounds great. Then people get that to you, and then you'll get a good lineup of princesses and all sorts of different nationalities get represented. Nikki Janik, our guest this morning, thanks for stopping in. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
It is, by the way, what was your sponsor? Do you remember your sponsor from?
My sponsor was my church, St. Mary's in Lorain.
Okay.